తద్విద్ధి ప్రణిపాతేన పరిప్రశ్నేన సేవయా తద్విద్ధి ప్రణిపాతేన పరిప్రశ్నేన సేవయా ఉపదేక్ష్యంతి తే జ్ఞానం జ్ఞానినస్తత్వదర్శినః ఉపదేక్ష్యంతి తే జ్ఞానం జ్ఞానినస్తత్వదర్శినః సో కృష్ణ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ ద బ్రహ్మ జ్ఞానం ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక. నౌ ఇన్ ది శ్లోక కృష్ణ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ద జ్ఞాన ఉపాయ ది మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ గెట్టింగ్ దిస్ సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్. దట్స్ వాట్ హీస్ టాకింగ్ హియర్ విచ్ ఇస్ నోన్ టు అస్ నథింగ్ బట్ అస్ వాట్ గురుముఖత. యు వాంట్ టు లెర్న్ ఇట్ త్రూ ఎ గురు. గురుముఖత వేదాంత శాస్త్ర శ్రవణ మనన నిధిధ్యాసనం. దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ సంథింగ్ యూ జస్ట్ టు లెర్న్ ఫ్రమ్ అ బుక్. యు లెర్న్ ఇట్ ఫ్రమ్ అ గురు. Through a guru you learn that. That is the only answer for getting this knowledge, self-knowledge. So Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam of Vedanta with the guidance of a guru is the only method for getting this knowledge. And that's what Krishna says here, which is actually he almost copies it from Mundaka Upanishad. The entire verse as if it is given in Mundaka Upanishad. He says, Tattva Jnanartham sa gurumeva abhigacchet. That is what is given in Mundaka Upanishad. Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. And who that guru also should be is given there in the Upanishad. So one should approach a Shrotriya Brahmanishta guru. It's not some guru. It should be a Shrotriya Brahmanishta guru to gain this knowledge. And the Upanishad's idea is only reiterated by Krishna here. He says, Tat Viddhi. Tat Viddhi. Therefore, Arjuna, gain that knowledge, gain that self-knowledge. Because in the previous shloka, what he said, the self-knowledge is the greatest yajna that takes one to Brahman directly. All other knowledge you can get this and that, but they will not take you to Brahman, they will not take you to moksha. Only self-knowledge alone will take you to moksha, and that is why it is considered the greatest knowledge. Shreyan, he said. So, jnana yajna shreyan, that's what he said in the previously, it is the superior most. That is the Shreya. So you gain that knowledge. Tad Viddhi. Tad Viddhi. Tad Jnanam Viddhi. That Jnanam. Whatever self-knowledge is, that's what you have to gain. Labdhva. You gain that knowledge. How? By going to a teacher. Guru Upasadhanena. You gain that knowledge by going to a teacher. Upasadhanena. And how should you go to the teacher? Even that he tells. You just don't go to the teacher. How should you go to him? He says. What should be your attitude when you go to the teacher? Even that Krishna specifies, the attitude should be one of Shraddha and Bhakti. Shraddha is the unconditional faith. Whatever the teacher says, I listen with faith. I follow with faith. That is Shraddha. And devotion to the teacher. So with that attitude, you go to him. And that's what Krishna is indicating here by the term Pranipatena. Tadviddhi Pranipatena. Pranipata. Pranipata means what? Do sashtanga namaskaram to him. Do sharanagati to the teacher. That's what he says. So, prakarshanena nichaihi patanam. Nichaihi patanam. Just, you know, to do sashtanga namaskaram to him. And it is not the physical namaskaram that is important here. Sashtanga namaskaram, whether you do or not, that's a different thing. It's not physical namaskaram. It is only symbolic of your attitude. Your attitude, what it means. When I bend low and prostrate to a person, what does it mean? I am in a lower plane compared to your knowledge. Compared to your knowledge, I am. You have got some knowledge which I don't have. And to that extent, you are superior to me. You are in a higher plane. And I am at the receiving end. And I am at the receiving end. And you are at the giving end. So that is what you are implying. And what is the simple law? The receiving end always should be lower. It should be always lower only from the giving and at higher level. So even if you want to get water from a tank, water should be at a higher level, otherwise it won't fall lower. So it's a simply a law of gravitation. So my intellectual lack is indicated symbolically by Pranipata. When I prostrate before a guru, I am just only communicating to him my lack of intelligence, my lack of intellect in that particular area in which he is supposed to be superior. So he says, Pranipata, and then Sevaya. Not only you surrender unto the teacher, you do Seva to him, do service to the teacher. Seva here means service, service to the teacher, which also indicates what? Shraddha and Bhakti. So when you surrender unto him, you have Shraddha, because you faith in his knowledge. And when you do service to him, you have devotion to him, you have bhakti to him. So you have Shraddha and bhakti to the teacher. And having done enough service to the teacher, by doing service, not only what we also express, not only we express our attitude, but we also get another thing, Chitta Shuddhi. By doing service to the teacher, we are not only expressing our devotion, we get Chitta Shuddhi. Our mind gets purified, because a jnani is like Ishvara. Jnani is like Ishvara, and service him, service to him is like service to the Lord himself. The Lord, so one gets Chitta Shuddhi also in this process. So the jnani also in the process, he gets an opportunity to intimately know the student. He is doing service to him, he is with him all the time. So he has the opportunity to know the student, what the student wants, what he lacks, what his abilities are, and what type of corrective steps he has to take to educate the student. All this the teacher will come to know. So when he is close to him and when he is doing service to him. Because a person may want Vedanta Jnanam, but he may lack one qualification or the other. Because for getting this Jnana, what are the qualifications? He should be Sadhana Chaturshtaya Sampannaha. Only a sadhana chaturshtaya sampanna adhikari alone will be able to gain this Vedanta jnanam. So the teacher will know, okay, this person lacks vairagyam. This person may have shama, dama he lacks. So he may have to orient him in such a way that he will get those qualifications also before he gives Vedanta jnanam to them. So the weaknesses of the student, that can be known only when there is intimate contact. That is why it's called Upanishad, keeping him near to you. Give this thing to you, and then he can try to give remedial actions for what he is lacking. So this is why in the old Gurukula system of Sampradaya, the teaching is not started immediately at all. Normally at the age, after Upanayanam, 7 years, 8 years, the parents will go and leave the child in the Gurukula. And for quite some time, they have to be only doing, you know, they have to go and collect samith, they have to fire wood and this and that, that's what they will be doing. No, see, actually in Sringeri it is still, even today it is happening. When from Padashala, they come to the matam to work as, you know, various capacities. So first job they are all given, you know, is what? Day in and day out, they have to only grind chandana. They have to sandal paste, they have to make day in and day out. That's all man. And if the consistency is not to the mark, and there is one senior man for that, he will have they will all get. These are all boys who are all 7, 8, 10 years old boys. They are all in the Padashala, and they have to be doing day in and day out this job. So that perseverance, how sincerely they are doing it. Because if that is the consistency, you know, during the Chandramudishwara Puja in the evening, it will be all there at the right place. There will be one ball which will go on the top of Chandramudishwara, another will go on Ratnagar Bhaganapati, another will go on, you know, the Shalagrama, everything will be there. And when he picks up, it should be consistent enough so that it won't either droop or fall or anything. It should be right on this thing. That man oversees. So he will make, but these guys are all doing only that job, no other job. Because, you know, to make this big a solid ball of sandalwood paste, you know how much you have to grind? The shoulders will ache. It's not an ordinary job. So only when we do it, you know, it's a very tough job. So they put them through all these kinds of rigor before they start any teaching at all to them. They don't teach anything unless he goes through all the things. So for sometimes, they just live together only. He is just there in the Gurukula, watching everything and doing errands, this and that. And not only the teacher studies the student, the student also has the opportunity to study the teacher. Teacher, what is his likes? What are his, if I do this thing, the teacher will not like. So he should know. So he will not, if he put his finger in the mouth, he will not like. So it makes the students to also know the teacher. So if he has come with some other intention, the teacher, okay, the student comes there with an intention, okay, let me also see how the Gurukula looks like. Comes there. He cannot survive that rigor even for 1 week. In a week, he will go. Normally, I used to teleport to our Veda classes. When people come here for Veda classes, if they are really not interested in the Vedam, they won't survive here even for 1 month. They will leave because you have to come here with Panchakachyam doing Sandhyandra Mandal. Who is going to do all that? They will leave. So, that is an automatic process of elimination. By just imposing the rigor of discipline, it will eliminate them. You don't have to tell them, don't come. They will themselves leave because this is the process. So in Gurukula also it is a process. They will themselves leave because the rigor of the teacher is such. So they have the opportunity to study the teacher also because the discipline of the ashrama will naturally send those outliers. It will send them out. Not only that, the mind also has to settle to the atmosphere. It's a new child who has come. He has to now know the environment. There are so many other kids. They may make fun of him. They may not have ragging and those kinds of things, but there will be definitely some, you know, will be there. So he will also know the environment because it is suddenly nothing cannot be started. Because nothing can be started suddenly, so they have to wait, give that time. So there is a settling time. The teacher allows a settling time. So keeping all these things into account, they always give some gap. The moment the student comes, they wait for maybe 1 year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever it is depending on the student, before starting anything to teach them. And during that time, this person will exhibit his attitude. So they will also be known. And once he has settled, and also he is very clear that he is not interested in anything else except only this jnana. Here you are not talking about what student? Brahmavidya student. You are not talking about some physics chemistry student. This is a student who is after Brahmavidya, where so much of self-discipline is expected and required. So all these things are needed. So his study then only will be focused. Because in this study, unless you have, number one, focus, upasana should be there so that you focus your mind. And mind should be clean, chitta shuddhi should be there. Only when these two things are there, you can have this knowledge. Otherwise, this knowledge will not sink into anybody. So once the student is ready, then the teacher is also ready. The teacher will then ask the question, oh student, what do you want? That is the question he will ask. Actually, in our Upanayana ceremony, these are all implied. We don't understand all these steps. When the father does the Upanayana to the son, the father assumes the role of a teacher. Even though there is another acharya who is conducting the thing, the Purohit, but the father assumes the role of the teacher. And the father will ask to his own son, Ko Namasi, what is your name? He is asking his son. Does he not know his son's name? This is the Gurukula style. The teacher will get to know who you are, what gotra you come from, what is your lineage. He will ask all those students, all those details to the student. And then only till that time the boy was there, going around doing this and that and all. Only when the teacher takes interest, okay, this boy seems to be sincere and all, he is interested, focused, I should teach him, then he will ask these questions to relate to him, so that he will know what he wants. At that time, what does he do? Hariprashnaha. When the teacher asks this question, the student says, oh Guru, I have no other interest in life. I want only one thing. I want only one thing from you. So it's called Pariprashnaha. This is what Nachiketas did to Yamadharmaraja. Yamadharmaraja, he offered to give you so many things. I will give you a lot of riches. I will get you the most beautiful woman to get married. Whatever you want, I will give you. He said, no, all those things, you keep it to yourself. I do not want any of them. I want only this knowledge. So that young boy Nachiketas, he was so focused to disregard everything that Yamadharmaraja was offering to him and focused only on this particular vidya. So I want na anyam vratam Nachiketa vrinite. That's what the Upanishad says. All other things I don't want. I want only this thing. And that is why it is called Pariprashnaha. Asking for wisdom. Prashnaha is, you are asking this thing there. This thing here, Pariprashnaha, it indicates the attitude also. If the idea is to test the teacher, let me see if the teacher knows. There are some people who are like that also in classes, right? Especially in technical classes, this is very common. This guy will do an extra homework to find out a problem which the teacher cannot answer. And he will come and ask that question. people are like that, you know. So here indicating the proper attitude also. So it is pariprashnaha, means question with humility. You are asking that question to the teacher, not with an arrogance or to tease him, but to, these things have been there, not now, all the time. You know, the entire Yadava race came to down this thing because of that reason. Yadava race is Krishna race, right? They all belong to Yadukula. Part of Krishna's son, he has one son called Samba. This Samba is the son of Krishna and Jambavati. So the Samba, once when Vishwamitra visited them, all these boys, you know, Vinashakale Viparita Buddhi, right? So what they did, they all dressed this guy like a pregnant woman. And then they took that person to this Rishi and asked him, "Oh Rishi, you are a great Rishi. They say that you know all the three time domains. Can you please tell what child this person will get?" They, you know, guys were like a woman and made her a pregnant woman. What child this woman will get? And the Rishi looked through them for a second and he knows that these guys are playing pranks. He said, "You will get a Olakai." I don't know what we call it, Olakai in English. Maize? No, not maize. The one which you use to pound grains and all at home. There will be a stone, this thing.
Pestle.
So they said, and he said, "You will get it in iron." That pestle in iron pestle is what you are going to get. These people have tied her stomach with some pestle like that. You know, he said, and really speaking, that iron pestle was born. What you are going to do now with that? Then they are all very worried, so they came to him and he said, "I cannot do anything. This is what you guys did. I don't know what I can do. So nothing can be done." So they thought they can be smart. So they made it into fine powder and threw it in the ocean. So it's all going to the ocean. And this has got some iron tip and also wooden portions, all that thing. So all the wooden particles, they all washed away on shore. And the all iron particles gathered and some fish swallowed it. It became a small, it's all dying. And these things all, they were washed away to, on shore. And they all became some kind of the grass. You know, on the shore you have grass which are very thick and heavy and all that. That kind of that grass, wild grass it became. After some time what happened? The Yadavas, they were all arrogant and the race was coming to an extinction time. At that time they all were so drunk. They came to the seashore where all these things have grown. And they had nothing else. They were fighting with each other, you know, fist fight and all that thing. And finally, they were grabbing all this wild grass and hitting each other with that wild grass. And all of them died. So Rishi Shakum became like that. And that iron particles which got collected, swallowed by the fish, it was taken by a fisherman who sold it to a hunter, a fisherman, sold the fish. And the hunter, he cut open the fish so that he will take it, he will consume it. And he found this iron thing there. So, you know, it looks to be very sharp. Why don't I put it on my arrow? So he kept it as the arrowhead in his arrow. And when the time came, Krishna had to leave for Vaikuntham. So Krishna already found out all these Yadavas, they all killed each other and destroyed. Rishi Shakum has come to reality. So Krishna was, you know, he was relaxing somewhere. At that time, you know, with his leg, on his other leg, there was a hunter who was looking at his leg and he thought it is some bird or some animal or something. He shot that arrow with that which had died in peace. Krishna also is a Yadukula, right? He is also a Yadava. So finally, Krishna also was hurt by that same iron piece, which was from that, whatever it is. And then he also had to go to Vaikuntha. So that is how this happened. So these are all people who were trying to test the Rishi. So this student should not be that plain, that category. He should be a really sincere student, a devoted student. That is why Krishna called it pariprashnaha. Instead of just prashnaha, he called it pariprashnaha, so that they will be asking the question with humility. It should be genuine, it should be humble. So we will always find, actually that's how the Upanishads, all the stories are always like that. Adihi bhagavo brahma vidyam varishtam. Adihi bhagavo. So always request them. Always request them with lot of humility. That is then only you can get this knowledge. So the student addresses, "Oh Lord, I would like to gain Brahma Vidya. I would like to gain this. So kindly enlighten me." So that is the tone with which the student will ask the teacher. And actually in Gita itself we already saw it when Arjuna asked Krishna, what he said? Shishyasteham shadima pam prapannam. That's what he said. So from the very voice of the student, the very type of questioning, the way he questions, one can find out whether the student is an arrogant student trying to test the teacher or a humble, sincere student who want to gain this knowledge. And not only that, even in the second chapter, when Arjuna did not get the knowledge clear, he only said, "I feel confused." That's what Krishna said. He didn't say, "You didn't teach me right." He said, "I am confused." He said, "I am not understanding it properly." So there is nothing to blame of the teacher, only for me to be blamed because I do not understand. So please enlighten me once again. Because of my weakness, I am not able to understand. He never tries to blame the teacher. And as long as the student takes this approach, the teacher will go on teaching. He will never get impatient. Till he says Nashto Mohaha in the 18th chapter. Till that time he will go on teaching. Then only the student will himself come and say, "All my delusions are gone. I am clear now." Okay. So Pariprashnaha. That is very, very important for a student. This is a very great quality to do Pariprashna. Because there is a rule to the teacher also. As much as there is a rule to the student, there is a rule to the teacher also, which the teacher has to follow all the time. Which is what? Without asking, Brahma Vidya knowledge cannot be given. That is a rule to the teacher. If somebody doesn't ask for this knowledge, do not give this knowledge. That is the rule to the teacher. So, na prishta kaschachit bruyat. Do not give. Nacham anyayena prichataha. Jnananapi medavi. Jadavat loke acharet. That's what the scripture says. Even if the teacher is a jnanavan, he's a jnani. If the person is not asking properly, if he is not asking, you behave jadavat. You act as if you don't know anything. You are the most ignorant person, jada. You act as though. That's what teacher is advised. So teacher will act as if he doesn't know anything if they don't ask properly. Okay. Till then, the jnani should not give out that jnana. So jnananapi jadavat loke acharat. Even if he knows, he should pretend as though he is ignorant. The jnani. Okay. So Krishna says, go and ask. And if you ask, what will they do? The teacher will do. Upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Those wise people, those jnanis, if you surrender to them, they will certainly give you this Brahma Vidya knowledge. They will give you this knowledge. Because no wise man will deny knowledge to any deserving student. That is the role of a teacher. A teacher has to give knowledge to any deserving student. Because that is why upadekshyam. Upadekshyam, it does not mean just whispering some mantra. I mean, normally upadesha means what we think, oh, give me that mantra upadesha, this mantra upadesha, you whisper in their ears, you don't want others to hear, all that thing. This is not that upadesha. This upadekshyanti is a different one. Because between japa upadesha and mahavakya upadesha, there is a difference. Here, what is upadesha? Mahavakya upadesha, no japa upadesha here. Japa is all over. Now he is now looking for Brahma Vidya. So this Mahavakya Upadesha here, in Japa Upadesha what happens? The student need not know the meaning at all. He doesn't have to know anything. He just Bija Mantras you give him, he will go on reciting. So mechanical stuff. With concentration he has to do. It's only a mechanical effort to focus your attention. That's what it is for. Japa Upadesha, right? He has to only get the Aksharam properly. Whatever is these swaras, aksharas, that all only he has to give. So, Namah Shivaya, Namo Narayanaya, all that thing he has to know properly to recite. That's all he has to do. Keep on reciting it all the time. That is Japa Upadesha. So, it is enough. If the teacher tells 3 times clearly, that's enough. The person will understand. He will go on repeating it. No problem. Then on, it is the job of whom? The student. He has to go on practicing that just by repeating that so many times. No question of understanding here, no question of doubts, none of those things are going to be there in that Japa Upadesha. Because understanding never comes into the picture. It is just a karma, no inquiry or discrimination for that. Just a, you don't discriminate whether this person will have the adhikari to do it or not. You just look at generally some qualities, whether you have some shraddha, that is adequate. We don't look at anything else. So in Japa Upadesha, there it is whispering, you keep him close to you, whisper the mantras to him, because you don't want others to listen, because it is Upadesha only to him, so you don't want others to listen, so you make it whispering. But here Upadekshyanti, it does not mean such a Upadesha. Here we are, Brahma Vidya is what we are talking about. So it is Mahavakya Upadesha. That's what we are giving here. And that to what? Not for Japa purpose. It is for what purpose? For understanding purpose. So when you give the Mahavakya to somebody, Tattvamasi, when you give that thing, it is for, you cannot be reciting Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi million times, no use. It should be at the understanding level, what Tat means, what Tvam means, what Asi means, you should have that knowledge. So it is at the understanding level. So the student has to know the meaning of Tat. Tat refers to Brahman. He should know, he should understand that. Brahman is what? The Jagat Adhishtanam. It is the support for the entire Srishti, the entire universe. It's the Adhishtanam of that. So he has to know the meaning of the word Tat. And means he has to talk about so many other things. He got Apavadam, Adhyaropa. I don't know whether I talked about these things in your class. I don't know, maybe some other time I'll do that, because there's an exercise on that. It has to be, details have to be given, and he has to reveal the Nirgunam Brahma. No more Saguna Upasana here. Sagunam is all the pujas and, you know, Naivedyam, all that thing, Archanas. No Saguna Upasana here at all. This is Nirgunam Brahman is being taught. So Nirguna Upasana is revealed here. And similarly, the Tvampadam, like the Tatpada refers to the Brahman, Tvampada refers to what? It has to be elaborately discussed. It should be through the Pancha Kosha Viveka. We already saw the Pancha Koshas, Avastatrayas, all the, you know, three Avastas, and the Shariratrayam. Pancha Kosham or Shariratrayam. All those various logics have to be taught. He should understand through all of them, through negation, through a process of negation. He has to reveal the Tvampadam. He has to. So the Tvampadam again. The Satpadam, the Tatpadam refers to the Nirgunam Brahma, which is the Sat. And the Tvampadam refers to again the Nirgunam Brahma, which is the Chit. So he should understand Satchit, this concept he should know. And thereafter he should reveal what? The identity between these two. The Sat and Chit are one and the same. He should reveal the identity. So Tat and Tvam have to be clearly taught first, and then the Asipadam. That signifies the Aikyam. The oneness of the Tvampada and Tatpada, that has to be taught clearly. All of them, there is no experiment here. There is no upasana here. Only understanding and nothing else. So that's what we. So the teaching itself will take lot of communication. Right? Being it's a very subtlest topic one can think of. Even for ordinary topics, we have a lot of communication. But this is the most subtle topic. So there will be lot of communication here. At the end of the teaching, there is another problem. The student is not going to agree easily at all. If somebody tells you are Brahman, who is going to agree? It looks nice to hear. I am not Brahman. So that's what everybody will say. Nobody will understand that. So no one will accept that I am the infinite Adhishtanam. Nobody will say. Nobody will understand that. So again, samsaya will come. Doubts will be there. It won't be clear at all. And the thinking student will always put forth for thinking students, they will always put forth lot of questions because they won't understand that. And teacher at that time cannot give up. He has to still teach clearly. He has to still take up effort to make the student understand that. That is the difference between a Brahma Vidya teacher and some other teacher. Because they will say, do the homework. Here, no homework. Here also, homework has to be done. That is what Bhrigu and Varuna in that third chapter, that's what happened. Each time the son comes to tell the father, he said, first Annam is Brahman. Then he said, Pranam is Brahman. Then he said, Mind is Brahman. Vijnanam is Brahman. Each time father said, go back. And then he has to again analyze himself and came and expressed the doubts to father, get it clarified. And then once he understood what Brahman, he did not come back. So there is no need to come back. Right? That is at that level, there is no father, no son. Right? So that is Jnani level. That's what he said. So this is the teacher again has to clarify each time. So it involves long shravanam. Teach elaborately and consistent mananam. Because there will be always doubts. So it has to be clarified each time. And this shravana mananam process, that is called upadesha here. When Krishna says upadekshanti, that upadesha refers to this process. Not the mantra upadesha and some whispering into somebody's ears. Okay. So te jnanam upadekshanti. And jnanam stands for what here? The jnanam stands for Veda Shastra. Veda Shastra knowledge. So Vedanta Shastram, that is the one which deals with this knowledge. Vedanta Shastram alone deals with this knowledge. So that is the knowledge I am going to give you. And who are those people? He says, Jnaninaha Tattva Darshinaha. He talks about the qualification of the teacher also here. First he spoke about the qualification of the student. What he has to do, how he is to be... who, which kind of student will be taught. He talked about all that earlier. Now he is talking about the qualification of the teacher. Okay. What are the qualifications of the student? He should be pranipata, seva, all these things you should do, right? That is our qualification of the student. Indicating the attitude, the shraddha and devotion. So a student with lot of shraddha and lot of devotion only can be taught. Bhakti, humility, all those things. That means sadhana, chatushtaya sampanna, adhikari, he should be. Now what is the qualification of the teacher? He must be a jnani and tattvadarshi. Jnaninaha, tattvadarshinaha. He should be a jnani and a tattvadarshi also. And these two words corresponds to what? The famous Mundaka Upanishad Vakyam which I read earlier. Mundaka Upanishad, what it says? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. So, Jnani and Tattvadarshi refer to the Shrotriya and Brahmanishta. Jnani means Shrotriya and Tattvadarshi means Brahmanishta. Okay, we have to understand each one of them what they are. Shrotriya means what? Shrotriya means the one who has learnt Vedanta Shastra from a teacher, not from a book himself. He should have learnt it from a teacher. He is called Shrotriya by hearing from a teacher. That's what he should have done. The one who has been a disciple before, only that person can teach this vidya. A person who can teach this vidya should have been a student once. He should have learnt it from a teacher. That's what he should have done. Okay. The one who has got the knowledge of truth because of his purva janma. Some people, you know, normally they are prodigy. Purva janma vasana was there. So right from birth he is a jnani. Shuka Brahma was supposed to be a jnani right from day one. He was born as a jnani, right? So our lot of purva janma punya they have done. So they have got this revelation earlier. Or as a very highly mature mind he is born with. So like a prodigy in music, in mathematics, this, that and all. You see all these people, right? They are all prodigy. Some people may become wise because of all these purva janma punya. They can do that. But they were never a disciple. So Pura Janma Punya, they got in this Janma that knowledge. They were never a disciple. They got that knowledge though. They were not disciples, right? So when they have not been a disciple of someone, they can never be a teacher. Such people, even though they may be prodigious, they may know a lot of things, they cannot be a good teacher. A disciple alone can become a good guru in Brahma Vidya particularly. So the one who has not been a disciple, but because he was a wise prodigy, in his case, what we call him? We call him Kevala Brahmanishtaha. He is a mystic. We don't call him a jnani. We call him a Kevala Brahmanishtaha, a mystic. His statements will be highest truth. No doubt about it. He's a prodigy. His statements will be highest truth. But an ordinary man can never grasp them. That is the difference. When such a person, when he reveals the truth, he will reveal Tattvamasi, highest truth, no problem. If he has to explain that Tattvamasi to an ordinary person, he can never do that. Unless he himself was a student. So it is like the gap between a prodigy and an ordinary person. He cannot definitely communicate to an ordinary person. A prodigy cannot teach. So Tattvadarshi or Brahmanishta, it means a person who is established in truth. Brahmanishta means the one who is established in truth, but at the same time, he must be a jnani also, a shrotriya also. He must have been a disciple sometime earlier so that he knows how to guide an ordinary person. Ordinary person means not a guy on the street. He is also an ordinary person who is a sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari. He has already gone through karma yoga, all that thing. In the Brahma Vidya knowledge, he doesn't know. So he is ordinary from the Brahma Vidya angle. He is not a guy on the street. He is already a highly qualified person. Even to teach him, it is very difficult for a person who is not a Shrotriya. Just a Kevala Brahmanishta cannot teach for such people also. Actually, this we can see in any field. There used to be a Srinivasa Ramanujan, right? There was a great mathematical prodigy in India. And he used to do so many theorems, so many solutions. And the professors in Britain, they were all amazed. What is this happening here? There are so many things. Either they should be the highest knowledge or the highest bluff. There is no steps involved, no derivations, nothing. But all these conclusions and the things are all ultimately they are so great. They could not believe how this could be. So this person is a Kevala Brahmanishta he is. He never learned it in any school or from any teacher or anything. He just started to get himself. So that person, if you have to put him in a college to teach, 101 mathematics. Very tough. Because it is very, very tough because it has not gone through that rigor. Right? Because that is why it is. So, in any part of this prodigy's case, this will be the situation. Whether it is prodigy or that prodigy, that will be the situation. They know very well their statements are correct, everything is correct, but if they have to teach and remove doubts of ordinary people, they cannot do that. He will be great, but steps will not be there. So, such people will prove great in the world, but they cannot guide other people. Okay. Similarly, here also, Kevala Brahmanishta, he cannot guide in Brahma Vidya. Even for secular education, if it is true, for Brahma Vidya, it is highly true. So, a Shrotriyam Brahmanishta alone can guide. That's what he says, Jnaninaha Tattva Darshinaha. Right? Sometimes we have Kevala Shrotriya also, the other case. We talk about Kevala Brahmanishta. There are a lot of Kevala Shrotriyas, the one who studies, but because of the lack of Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, this person doesn't have that, the wisdom is not assimilated in him. He has heard Aham Brahmasmi so many times. It has never gone into him. It is not in his breath. So it's not gone into him. It does not go to his heart for such people. So it is like studying philosophy subject in a college. A lot of people go to philosophy. They take major in philosophy, PhD philosophy. What PhD philosophy? It's all passed the exams and maybe went through something. This philosophy, actually PhD is doctor of philosophy in whatever subject it is. That is, I don't know, maybe a misnomer, I don't know. We are all PhDs. So, the philosophy is what? So, they don't know any Vedanta at all. So, for these people, it is only Kevala Shrotriya. There is no Brahmanishtam there at all for those people. So, we would have studied it very well, passed the examination, might have got A grade also, but those things have not got assimilated in. They have not got part of me. So, in such cases also, that person can teach the scriptures. He can teach the scriptures, but does not come from the heart of this person because it is not in his blood. So, he can teach, but doesn't come from the heart. So, his words will have no impact. So, when such people teach, he will be teaching all that, but you know, you have to have impact on the other person. See, when the teaching is a very peculiar process, in Brahma Vidya, especially in this Dharmic Shastras, not only the teacher should know, the student should be able to grasp, but the student should be able to rightly understand. That is why in the beginning itself we are praying for the doshas in the teacher and in the student on everything. Dosha on the teacher is what? He may teach something which the people perhaps have not understood properly. That means he is not able to communicate properly. There is not enough samskara in him to communicate properly. That is a teacher's dosha. So, when the teacher is not communicating properly, it is the dosha of the teacher. So, the student should be alert, he should understand properly, he should have the ability to understand, and the teacher also should be able to communicate properly. If it is not, it is a dosha on the part of the teacher also. So, his words will have no impact on them if it is just only a Shrotriya teacher without Brahmanishtha. Okay. So, a prodigy who has got the wisdom, but who has not studied the scriptures, that person cannot communicate at all. He has got the wisdom, not studied this. So, he is the other case, Kevala Brahmanishta, right? So, one cannot communicate and the other cannot create an impact. So, one cannot communicate. Kevala Brahmanishta cannot communicate. Kevala Shrotriya cannot create an impact. So, when there is Shrotriya and Brahmanishta, that person knows how to communicate because he is a Shrotriya. He was a disciple earlier. He was a student earlier, and communication will have the impact also because it is coming from his heart. He lives that. When he says Aham Brahmasmi, he lives that. He knows every bit of it. So he can communicate it properly. So when he says you are Brahman, he means it. Because for him, I am Brahman is a meaningful statement. For all others, it is only words. For this person, it is a meaningful statement because he is Brahmanishta. So, actually Shankaracharya, he writes beautiful commentary on these things for the shloka. So, only the teaching coming from such a teacher will become fruitful. He says, karyakshamam bhavati. So, that alone will become a fruitful teaching. Only that will have impact on the student. So, Krishna says, jnaninaha tattva darshinaha. Those wise people who are Shrotriyas and Brahmanishtas, upadekshyanti te jnanam. They will certainly impart you this knowledge to you. And this is very, very important shloka because why? People are questioning the necessity of a guru these days, particularly. These days people say, oh, we don't need a guru at all, right? That is normally many people say, we don't need a guru at all. There are so many books are available, and you know, they have got classes of philosophy, religion, and all. I don't have to go to any of them. In the internet, everything is available, books are available, everything is available. So they think there is no need for a guru. There is generally the this thing, you know. Different books, you know, they write, you know, different things. They, you know, there are books we say, you alone are your guru. Things people are writing, right? You alone are your guru. You learn from your own experiences. They tell all these things to them. You can make independent inquiry. Right? You can make independent inquiry. They want to promote people to have independent inquiry. So independent meditation, all these things there. They all have become, because when people say that you don't have to go to your guru, he is comfortable for me. I don't have to go sit in front of another guy. I will listen to him. Right? You can be your own teacher. So there are books published. They will tell you, and that guy will tell you, you can be your own teacher. You listen to him, then sit into your guru and listen to him. They will go buy those books and do all those things. And you can discover truth by yourself. All these things are, I know, all these publications are, I'm seeing all of them, you are also seeing all of them. So, that's why I'm telling you. So, it is very, very clear that they are all not acceptable to Gita. They are all not acceptable to Krishna, nor they are acceptable to Upanishads also. Both of them. So, Mundaka Upanishad clearly says, Guru sa Guru meva abhigachete samitpanihi. Mundaka Upanishad clearly says, so Krishna also clearly says here, tadvidvim pranipatena jnaninaha upatekshanti. So, he says very clearly, so the Guru's necessity is unquestionable according to Bhagavad Gita, according to Krishna, who Guru is a must.
Yajñātvāna punarmoham. Yajñātvāna punarmoham. Yajñātvāna punarmoham.
Evam yāsyasi pāṇḍava.
Evam yāsyasi pāṇḍava. Evam yāsyasi pāṇḍava.
Yajñātvāna punarmoham. Evam yasyasi pandava.
Yajñātvāna punarmoham. Evam yasyasi pandava. Yajñātvāna punarmoham. Evam yasyasi pandava.
Yena bhūtānyaśeṣeṇa.
Yena bhūtānyaśeṣeṇa. Yena bhūtānyaśeṣeṇa.
Rakṣyasyāṁ drakṣyasyātman yatomayi.
Drakṣyasyātman yatomayi.
Yena Bhutanya Seshena, Rakshasyatman Yatomayi.
Yena Bhutanya Seshena, Rakshasyatman Yatomayi. Yena Bhutanya Seshena, Rakshasyatman Yatomayi.
So in the previous loka, Krishna gave the Jnana Upaya, the method of gaining this Jnana. And here Krishna is going to talk about the Jnana Phala. What is the benefit of gaining this knowledge? Because that we always want to know. Unless some benefit is given here, nobody is going to come to this knowledge, right? What is that for me? Everybody wants to ask that question, right? We're spending this much time. Essentially, all human beings, generally, they are all utilitarian. They want, yes.
Just one clarification.
Yeah, Deep, can you ask maybe at the end? Because I have to stop the recording. So, essentially, all human beings are all utilitarian. So, what will I get by coming to Gita class? Everybody will ask that question, right? So he will ask. So Krishna clarifies here that the benefit is moha nashaha. Moha nashaha means the delusion, the confusion, the conflict, they are all getting rid of here. You can get rid of all of them, they will not be there in life anymore. O Pandava, yajñātvā, having gained this knowledge, yajñātvā, having gained this knowledge, moham punaha na yāsyasi. You will not come back again to any delusion at all, once again, as you came to in the first chapter. The first chapter he had full of delusion, right? And all those things you will not come back again. You will not come back again. So, vepatuscha sharire me, roma harshasya jayate, all those things we already heard, right? Prichamitvam, dharmasam moda chetaha, all those, you remember all those shlokas, right? Karpande dotaya, okay. So, they know, so there are so many situations in life. They have been there. All the times we are confronted with that, whether to do this or not, whether to be or not to be there, whether to go here or not. Always these conflicts are there for us every day. They are all there all the time. Various situations, they conflict. So many conflicts on the mind. So no such situation will disturb you anymore. That is assurance Krishna gives. You will know how to face any such conflicts. He doesn't say conflicts won't come. He tells you how you will know how to face those conflicts. I have told you many times. You cannot stop situations to come to you. They will come. Prarabdha will drive them into you. Nobody can escape. But you will know how to deal with them, how to face them. That you will know by having this knowledge. You will know clearly how you can handle them. So therefore, punaha na yasyasi. Punaha, it won't come to you. You already had delusion, it won't come to you again. Not only will delusion will go in this situation, in future also, any number of situations, such situation cannot create a problem. You may say, for this time, okay, I am clear. Another situation comes tomorrow, will I be clear then? He is assuring, then also no problem. You will have no such issue at all to deal with them. That is very useful for everyone because everyone faces dharma. Dharma Sankatam always comes to everybody, right? Dharma Sankatam comes to whom? Only a person who wants to follow dharma. For others who doesn't want to follow dharma, there is no Sankatam at all. They are fine. They are very happy with what. Only a guy who wants to follow dharma, dharma Sankatam comes, right? So, in society, in family, in work, always you have problems. You have some dharma sankalpa. So, this can come everywhere. Then, at that time, our heart will break. Oh my God, how am I going to deal with this situation? Always this happens to us. And sometimes people even go to the extent, sannyasa is better. No problems at all. So, let me become a sannyasi. No problem. All these problems may not come there. That's what people even think at that time. So, Krishna says here, evam, which means, as you are having now. The confusion that you are having now, the delusion that you are having now, you will not have it anymore. You will not have. So then only Arjuna will understand. Because he has to tell him the confusion that you are having. If he says the confusion that somebody else had, it may not react, he cannot relate to it. The confusion that you are having right now, you won't have it anymore. So this is one benefit. And the second benefit was what? Sarvatra Ishvara Darshanam or Brahma Darshanam is the another benefit. Yena Bhutani Aseshena Mayi Drakshyasi. Yena Bhutani Aseshena Mayi Drakshyasi. By this knowledge, you will see all beings. Yena Bhutani in me. Mayi Drakshyasi. You will see all beings in me. By this knowledge, that's what you will look at. No one is away from me. You will see everyone is with me. Nobody is away from me. I am the Adhishtanam, support of all beings. That is what you will see. So that is another benefit. So you will be having that global vision that everything is supported by me. I am the support of all of them. Just we see all varieties of waves. They all have one adhishtanam, namely the water. Or you see so many waves. But all those waves, even though waves are too many in number, they all have only one adhishtanam, namely the water. And here, the most important thing is, Krishna is making another very, very revealing statement here. You will see all beings in me. You will see all beings in yourself also. That's what he says. Atha Atmani. Atha Atmani. You will see all beings in me. Mayi Drakshyasi. Here you will see all beings in yourself. Atha Atmani. In yourself also. So if you combine both the sentences, what happens? You and Brahman are one. You and me are one and the same. We are not different. You and me are one and the same. Otherwise, what you would have said? You will see some beings in me, you will see some beings in you. That's what he would have told. But he doesn't say, you will see all beings in me and you will see all beings in you also. Right? So if Krishna has to say that, if you will see all things in me and in you also, it is possible only on one condition, that you and me are one and the same. Okay? That is Aham Brahman Asmi Iti Jnana. That is the Jnana we will get. So the essence of his word, you and I are one and the same, which is the Adhishtanam of the whole universe. Adhishtanam is the support, which is the support of the whole universe. So the oneness of Jiva and Ishvara. That is what is talking about. Jiva, Ishvara, Aikyam is the substratum of the whole universe. Jiva, Ishvara, Aikya, Darshanam. That's what you will have. So the palam, it's actually he is putting the palam in a different language. These are all palam. By getting this Brahma Vidya, what is the palam? You are, these are all the palam. So one language is what? Mohanashana. All your moha will be gone. Delusion will be gone. That is one. The other one is Jiva, Ishvara, Aikya, Darshanam. That's what you will get. And when you have Jiva, Ishvara, Aikya, Darshanam, what does it mean? The sense of limitation will go away. I won't consider myself as a limited individual. I won't consider myself as 5 feet, so many inches, so many pounds. No, father, mother, son, no, none of those. because they are all limited. Here I won't see any limitation whatsoever because I am infinite Brahman. So the sense of limitation will go on. Otherwise, what I am thinking now, I am sitting upon the world. That's what I am thinking right now. I am sitting upon the world. That's what I am thinking. I am a very, very puny creature. If you look at the entire cosmic makeup, you are nobody. That's what we are thinking about ourselves in the vast universe, appearing and disappearing like waves. We come, we go, we come, we go. All those things we are doing. And this view will be now changed. When you have this attitude, this view will be changed. We are not a puny creature anymore in the universe. But the whole universe is nothing but a dot in you. When you are thinking of yourself as Brahman, the whole universe is a dot in you, the timeless and spaceless Brahman you are. You are beyond the limits of time and space. That is, you are Chaitanya Swarupa. So when that knowledge comes, then all this universe and all, they make no sense to you. They are like a dot on you. Because in the presence of the vast infinitude, the whole universe is just a dot only. It's a very small, small thing. So there will be a radical change in the vision of myself alone. There will be a total change in my vision. We will no more have the smallness. Alpajnaha, Alpashaktiman, all those things we will not have. We will be the infinite Brahman. Actually, that is the second palam. Right? That's the second palam. Then, sloka 36. Api chedasi papebhyah.
Api chedasi papebhyah. Api chedasi papebhyah.
Sarvebhya papa krittamah.
Sarvebhya papa krittamah.
Api chetasi papebhyah sarvebhyah papakrittamah.
Api chetasi papebhyah sarvebhyah papakrittamah. Api chetasi papebhyah sarvebhyah papakrittamah.
Sarvam jnana plavenaiva.
Sarvam jnana plavenaiva. Sarvam jnana plavenaiva.
Vrijinam santarishyasi.
Vrijinam santarishyasi. Vrijinam santarishyasi.
Sarvam jnana plavenaiva. Vrijinam santarishyasi.
Sarvam jnana plavenaiva. Vrijinam santarishyasi. Sarvam jnana plavenaiva. Vrijinam santarishyasi.
So he is trying to give the same idea but puts it in a slightly different language. He says papa nashaha. The destruction of all papams, all sins, that is the palam of jnana. So by gaining this knowledge, you will destroy all sins. Because this is another weakness of all human beings. Animals this doesn't have, but human beings, the sense of guilt. You know, we always have the sense of guilt. I am a sinner. That attitude always people have, the sense of guilt. I am a sinner. I have done this, I have done that. I am always committed mistakes, so I am a sinner. Actually, in some faiths, they will immediately first address you only as papigale, oh sinners. That's how they will address you start with. First address itself, you are all sinners. So, just looking down upon oneself, even though Lord says you are Nityaha, Shuddhaha, Buddhaha, all those things the Lord says, but I consider myself as no. The Lord is bluffing. It is what he is telling, how can I be a person who is like that? So we will argue even with the Lord. Okay, oh Lord, you don't know what I am. I only know what all the things I have done. You don't know at all. I have done so many sins, right? So we should know what we have done. That is good. To know what we have done is good. Because we would have sinned, for example, certain sins in the past. But that should be used for what? To be aware of them so that you won't do it again. So to know our mistakes is not bad. It's good. So that we won't repeat it next time. So that it will be an educational experience for us. So introspection for betterment is always good. You have to introspect yourself. That's good. But introspection to feel guilty all the time is like what? Is burning oneself all the time. So you don't introspect yourself to feel guilty. You introspect yourself to be good next time. To avoid mistakes. But unfortunately, in the society, we are all in the society, right? Even one, if one does not have such a complex, this inferiority complex I don't have, but all others will say around me, oh, you know that day you did? Not at that. All others have nothing else to do, right? They have to gossip. So they, oh, not only they will talk to you, they will talk to everybody else also. This is how the work is what to do. So they will develop the complex in you. Even if you don't have the complex, they will develop this complex in you, and we will also gradually start feeling that. Originally you may put up a very bold face and all that. If you hear it 10 times, and also from people who are friends and other things also, you will say, oh, maybe. How can I face them next time? All these problems we will have. So they will develop the complex in us, and we will also gradually, we will fall prey to that. So if arrogance is one type of problem in people, inferiority complex is another type of problem in most people. Arrogance is one problem. Some people are very arrogant. Some people have this inferiority complex. That is another problem, the feeling of guilt. That is a big problem on them. So Krishna wants to wipe off from Arjuna's mind all the sense of guilt. Wipe it away, no problem at all. You gain this knowledge, then you are free from all such sins. So he gives, what an assurance Krishna gives himself. All type of sins. And Arjuna may ask, will Jnanam remove all sins? You might ask that question. Yeah, Krishna tells, he may ask, can Jnanam remove all sins? Jnanam will remove ignorance. Will it remove all this? Because sin is something that is committed in the past. Right? It's not what I'm doing, right? It was past. How it can remove sins of the past? It's been committed. So he may say, he's a special sinner, maybe. Right? I'm a special sinner. Your Jnanam cannot wipe my sin. He may say, right? Ordinary people might have done ordinary sins. I am extraordinary person. So I have done extraordinary sins. Because why I'm saying all that is, there are pancha mahapapas. For that, they say there is no solution at all. There is no prayasitam. Pancha mahapapas. So there are such big papas. For which there is no prayachitam at all. So, Shastra itself gives all those things. Right? No prayachitam is available for them. So, if Arjuna claims that he has done some mahapapas, right, he might have done, and so prayachitam is possible, then this jnana is useless to me. I have done mahapapas, this jnana is useless to me because it cannot remove them. Krishna preempts all such arguments, and he says that jnanam can destroy not only ordinary sins, but also your extraordinary sins also, if you have done any. All sins it can wipe out. It may be mahapapam or even mahamahapapam, doesn't matter. It can destroy all of them. This jnana. So he says, he makes a very, very superlative language here in the deployment. Papebhyaha papakrittamaha chedapi. He says, right? Papakrit means sinner. The one who commits a sin is called papakrit. And papakrit taraha is a worse sinner, comparative degree. And papakrit tamaha is a superlative sinner. He is the highest sinner. So even for him, sarvebhyaha api, among all the people of the world, chedapi, even if that is the truth, Arjuna is not such a sinner at all in the first place. He is a good person. He is not such a sinner at all. But Krishna is putting a hypothetical condition, even if there is such a rakshasic person who has done the most heinous crime one can think of. Sarvam jnana plave naiva santarishyasi prijinam. Prijinam means papa, sins. All those sins that we have done, including those from the past births, not only in this past births also, from beginningless time. I have been taking janma from beginningless time. How long, I don't even know. Up to this moment of getting this knowledge, all the bundles and bundles of sins, all of them, they all will be destroyed. And Krishna compares the papam sins to a ocean. Compares to a ocean. Does not matter, I will give you a special boat. You might have done so much of sins which are like a ocean, but to cross that ocean, I will give you a special boat which will take you across that ocean of sins. And what is that boat? Jnana plava. Jnana plava means, boat. Boat or a raft. This jnana plava means the boat of knowledge. I will give you the boat of knowledge which will take you across this ocean of sins. Unimaginably will take you across this terrific ocean of sins. You won't even imagine how it will definitely take you. And they are all these sins are compared to ocean because they are very vast. The ocean, the sins are very vast. All types of problems can arise in the ocean. If you take a ocean, all types of problems can be there. There will be a lot of waves. There could be storms, hurricanes, cyclones, sharks. Anything can be there. All those whirlpools, everything can be there, currents. So various problems can be there because of the sins. That's why he compares it to a ocean. Because of the sin, there could be various problems in life. This type of sin would have given this problem, that, all those things would have been there. Then you may wonder, what is the logic? How this is possible that you can take across this? That logic will be there. Just by saying, Jnana Plave Neva Santa Rishasi, how can I swallow that? By gaining Jnanam, I will be removed of all these things. You put me in the ocean, I only have to suffer all those various currents and these sharks and all these. Now you are telling by gaining this Jnanam, this boat, it will take me across. How can I believe that? Right? We can ask all those questions. And Krishna says, the answer is very, very simple. Because here there is a very subtle knowledge. The whole papa, the life, the suffering, etc., is something like a dream. The whole papam, the life, the suffering, everything is like a dream because of our ignorance of ourselves. Because we don't know our true self, because of that, all these things, they are like dream only. Just like all problems in the dream, there is a dreamer. A guy is sleeping, he is dreaming. He has a lot of problems in the dream, right? And because of a simple reason that all these dreams will be destroyed, what is that? Just by waking up, right? That you are asleep to the waker. You have all these problems because you are asleep to the waker. The moment you wake up, all those things are going away. We forget that and comfortably we sleep in the bed and in the dream we see all these problems. We even think that we cannot get out of all the problems in the dream. In the dream we think, oh my God, I cannot get out of these problems. All this all happening in 1 minute or half a minute. I have told you many times the time domain in dream space is much, much, much smaller than the time domain that we have here, right? So, but they all go away the moment I wake up, right? So, if it is possible to solve the umpteen problems of dream just by mere waking up, which is not a big job at all. Wake up, what do you need to wake up? Somebody has to just push you, that's all. Or they have to throw pour water on you, that's wake up. Just a small thing will wake you up. If you can wake up for something like that, just by shaking a person, in the same way, the ocean of sins is nothing but we are dreaming, but knowing without knowing our nature. That's what we are doing all the time. And when we are shaken by a guru who tells you who you are, then immediately you are shaken by this guru, we wake up to true nature. To our true nature, then we find that all these sufferings are some kind of a dream only, born out of misconception. Any problem that we can think in life, they are all born out of only misconception. If you really go into the root of the problem, that is why a person who worries about problems can never solve it. Only a person who can make inquiry to a problem and analyzes it and goes to the root can solve it. So you can, by worrying, you never solve any problem. So Krishna says, Sarvam jnanaplavenaivam vrijinam santarishyasi. You will certainly cross this ocean. Santarishyasi means you will cross. Santarishyasi means you will completely cross, no doubt. You will completely cross, there is no doubt. So this is the third phalam, which is papanashaha. Right? Previously mohanashaha, your delusion will be destroyed. And then sarvatra brahma darshanam, that was mentioned as the second palam. And the third one, papanashaha, is the third palam. All your sins will be destroyed. And here there is one technical point you should understand. In Vedanta, papam includes three things. In Vedanta, sin includes three things. It includes papam, it includes punyam, and it also includes the basis for these two, which is ajnana, ignorance. So, papam, punyam, ajnanam, all the three come into one category called the sin, papam. It's called papam, papam, punyam, and also ajnanam. So, ajnanam, punyam, papam, all these put together is called what? Samsara. So, samsara is all these three only. Papam, punyam, and ajnanam. That is why human life is considered to be a life of mishram. It is mixture of both papa and punyam. That is why human life, human janma is a mixture of both papam and punyam. That is why you have some days which are good, some days are not good. They always come. You always have all these opposite experiences because both punya and papa. When you suffer, some papa is exhausted. When you are happy, some punya is getting exhausted. So you have both papam and punyam. So it is a mistra janma. And this samsara, you will cross through jnana. Jnana plavena. You will cross this.
Yataidhamsi samidhognihi.
Yataidhamsi samidhognihi. Yataidhamsi samidhognihi.
Basmasat kuru terjuna.
Basmasat kuru terjuna. Basmasat kuru terjuna.
Yataidhamsi samidhognihi. Basmasat kuru terjuna.
Yataidhamsi samidhognihi. Basmasat kuru terjuna. Yataidhamsi.
ಸರ್ವಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಭಸ್ಮಸಾತ್ ಕುರುತೇ ತಥಾ
He puts it in another language here. Right? He calls first Mohanashaha, then Sarvatra, Brahma Darshanam, and now it is Karmanashaha. He's talking about Karmanashaha. Mohanasha, Papanasha, Karmanasha. Any other? Karma here means what? Karma Palam. Karma here means Karma Palam in the form of Sanjita Karma and Agami Karma, etc. Here Karma refers to Karma Palam. Sanchita Karma Palam, Agami, all that thing, which we actually saw in the Tattva Bodha earlier. I don't know if I want, I can give you a quick refresher. Now, Sanchita Karma is that karma which is the accumulated karma over several janmas. So, whenever a janma is, some portion of it will get fructified at some point in time, which give rise to a janma, and that is called Prarabdha Karma. So, that portion of Sanchita Karma, which fructifies, to give rise to a janma, a birth, that is called prarabdha karma. And once you take birth, you are still doing lot of karmas, and for that you will have karma palam. And till any point in time, till today, let us say, whatever you have committed, all these, that is agami karma. Okay, in this janma. So sanchita karma, agami karma, and prarabdha karma. So Krishna says, all these things, they will be all destroyed. They will be, all this karma nasha will happen. And he gives a beautiful example. In the previous example, Krishna said, Papam was compared to an ocean. Previous sloka, Papam was compared to an ocean. And here, and Jnana was compared to a boat. Right? There, Jnana was boat, Papam was ocean. And Jnana boat takes you across the Papa Samudra. That's what was told earlier. Here, karma is compared to a fuel. A fuel. Petrol. And Jnana is compared to a fire. Jnana is fire. Karma is fuel. And now what is the greatness of fire? Jnana is greater than fire. Fire will destroy all types of things without any difference. Fire is the only medium which can destroy anything. Without any difference. It may be a log of sandalwood. It may be a log of mango tree. It may be a book. It may be cloth. It may be metal. Doesn't matter. It will burn all of them. In the same way, we have done varieties of karma. Varieties of karma has given to varieties of papam. And all varieties can be destroyed by only one thing, namely Agni. Like Agni can destroy everything. So we may try to use different things to destroy different things possibly. We one can try to use, like for example, sometimes you can try to dissolve something in water. So only those things which can be soluble in water only, you can dissolve with water. Whereas in intense heat, you can get rid of everything, most of the things. All things are gone. But Agni is one which can destroy all types of things. That is why Agni is considered the greatest destroyer. Agni is considered the greatest destroyer. And if you bury, for example, in our system, we cremate. We don't bury. If you bury, you know, that could be germs. You know, it is put in the ground only. All these germs and all could be generated. They will be there and all. That is why our method is cremation. Nothing is left. When the person is sick, and the body is full of bacteria and all those things at the time of death. And if you bury this person in the ground, where they are going to go? They are going to spread there only, right? In the bhumi. But Agni can burn down everything. So Agni is a wonderful means of purification. Destroyer and a purification which can remove everything, destroy everything. In the same way, Jnanam is like fire. Because the comparison here is Jnanam to a fire. So Jnanam is like fire. It can destroy all Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, all things, whether it is small sin or big sin, does not matter. It can destroy all of them. Jnanam can destroy all of them. Yatha. Yatha means just as. Agnihi yedamsi basmasat kurute. The fire, Agnihi, burns down to ashes. All types of fuel. Not only all types, any number also, quantity also. You can put any quantity, it will just burn all of them out. Not a question of capacity. Agni, it's not a question of capacity, lack of capacity for Agni. You can go on consuming any amount you put. If you bury, actually, there is a problem. Actually, Swamiji very nicely used to say, after some time, maybe the entire world would be only a burial ground. Vipari, there are 5 billion people, marry all of them. And it's going to multiply also. So the entire world may be only a burial ground. So we have an intelligent method. Burn, nothing remains. You burn things, nothing remains. So actually any number you put in Kashi is called Mahasmasana. Before even one thing burns out, another thing is already ready for cremation. So that's what happens in Kashi. So it is good for quality and quantity, both. Fire. And similarly, you need not have to wonder that I have got karmas accumulated in millions and trillions of janma also. No worry. You might have made trillions of janma, doesn't matter. All the karmas will be burned just down to ashes by this jnanagnihi. So jnanagnihi, the fire of knowledge, can burn down to ashes sarva karmani, all types of sins, all types of karmas. Sins. And here also, Guru, which is the door குள்ள என்டர் பண்ணியா நீ இப்போ அந்த கேரேஜ் குரூப்ல என்டர் பண்ணியா அந்த இடத்துல